Hello, fine listener. Do you want to help this show grow and become better than it was before? Well, I've got a way for you to do it. Go to patreon.com/frogpants today. Here, everybody. It's the Boop Show. Some gaming, naming, blaming news you can use for March 26, 2015. I'm Scott Johnson. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Boop Show. Naming, gaming, blaming news. Hey, look, it's a day late. I apologize for that. Not quite a full day. I was supposed to do it yesterday afternoon, and things got out of hand. So busy yesterday. Bad day for me. But I'm here for you now. I never left. I stayed up late. I watched for you to come home. You broke curfew. Your mother and I were worried, worried sick. We weren't worried stiff. Gross. I started Pillars of Eternity, the game that started out as a $4 million deal on Kickstarter. It was one of the biggest grabs for video games at the time anyway. People were real excited because Obsidian was making it, and they're famous for doing lots of RPGs, usually for other companies. Like, they'll come in and do the sequel for somebody. New Vegas for Fallout, many other things. And this was their chance to do something they wanted to do, and they had promised at the time that they were going to be building a game that would be an homage or a direct descendant or a spiritual successor or whatever you want to call it to the PC RPG games of yore, like some of that early mid-90s business, Baldur's Gate, Icewind Dale, what was that scary one? Anyway, the D&D ones. What was the one where you were dead? Oh, my brain. It's such a great game, too. Crap. Can't remember the name. But anyway, they all used that engine that BioWare was using at the time. Anyway, they were like, yeah, we want to make that, but in a modern era, you know, with good, you know, graphics that are reflective of that and all that. So that is what they set out to do. And by gum, if they didn't nail it. I'm not super deep yet. I understand it's a pretty enormous campaign, and I'm probably just a few hours in, but holy poop on a stick, man. It's, first of all, beautiful, but weirdly reminiscent of those old games visually. So there's a lot of really similar things. Like, when you click on the ground and move your guy, I swear it's the same little icon. The turn-based combat works very, very much the same. The dialogue tree feels like one of those old BioWare games, but yet it doesn't quite feel lifted. It feels new and fresh in their hands. I'm more interested in this story than I was in almost any RPG in the last couple of years. Even this early on, the active voice acting is great. The characterizations are great. Character stuff is cool. I made a wizard. I made a video of this. So if you want to see the early, very early goings, you can go over to youtube.com/ScottJohnson. It's the latest gameplay video that I put up. And you can watch me create a character and do some initial stuff. There was a weird bug that I finally got rid of. It's an audio bug. I'm sure they're going to fix it. Other than that, I haven't really run into too many problems. There was a couple of typos in some of the dialogue, but hey, it was day one, so what do you expect? It's on Steam. It's like $44. Thus far, I'm completely in. I am all in on this. I am all in. I know people have been playing the beta because you've had access to that via the Kickstarter. I was not one of the Kickstarter supporters at the time. I missed out on it, so this is my first taste, and it tastes really good, man. It tastes really good. Anyway, Pillars of Eternity, rad. And Nick, my son and I, Nicholas and I, played through PT again, which, you know, stands for Playable Teaser. I don't want to give anything away if you haven't played it, because I think it's worth seeing for yourself what that thing represents. But anyway, it's that thing that was free, came out last year, right around, was it GDC or was it Gamescom, I think? and had Guillermo del Toro's name and Hideo Kojima's name attached to it, although who knows if he's still attached to it with this whole shakeup with him and Konami. But anyway, this horror game thing where you looped through this house and saw different stuff every time you looped through it, and there are puzzles to solve and things to do and blah, blah, blah. It scared the hell out of me when I played it the first time. I ran through it again with Nick. We decided to just get all the way through it together. And I'd forgotten how freaking scary, dude. That is a scary game thing. I don't even know if it's a game. Whatever it is, it's a demo. Scary demo. I've yet to play anything on any platform ever that scared me so bad. But it was really fun playing with your 14-year-old son because he is completely freaking out but wants to be cool, you know. And anyway, it was fun. If you got like kids in that age range, definitely don't do it when they're younger. You know, I'd say, it depends on each kid, but I'd say, you know, 12 and up and with you, that's the way to do it. Anything younger than that, you're going to give them nightmares for days. Because good hell, dude, that game. Oh. And whether or not that thing actually fulfills its destiny and becomes an actual game is now up in the air, right? Because Kojima, he's not at Konami anymore. Like, that whole deal probably went to poop. Oh, and I want to talk about the ending, but I don't want to give anything away. I mean, I guess most people already know this, but I don't know. I don't want to assume that. And I'd feel bad. You guys would send me emails, you'd be all ticked, and then what would we have? We'd have anarchy on our hands, see? We can't be having that. Sega has a deal for you right now. Sega games, over 93 of them. Well, exactly 93 of them. There's no over. Worth $990.01 if you were to pay for them with their proper current day retail value. You can get the entire thing for $80. So they've got a deal with Sega on Steam. It is ridiculous. It's crazy. So from March 30th, that's when's that? This coming Monday? Yeah, Monday at 5 p.m. You'll be able to get that whole thing for basically 92% off. The bundle includes the following. Okay, Alien vs. Predator from 2004. Actually a pretty good game. Alpha Protocol, Binary Domain, Company of Heroes, Company of Heroes Opposing Fronts, Company of Heroes Tales of Valor, Company of Heroes 2, Company of Heroes 2 The Western Front Armies, Company of Heroes 2 Adrenaline Assault, or Adrian's Assault, Adrian's Assault. I might do it for Company of Heroes alone. Anyway, Condemned Criminal Origins. That was a cool game, right? Crazy Taxi, you know the one. Echo the Dolphin, ha. Empire Total War, Medieval 2 Total War, Napoleon Total War, Total War Shogun 2, Total War Shogun 2 Fall of the Samurai, Total War Rome 2, Valkyrie Chronicles. Ooh, that's a good game. Or Valkyria, rather. Football Manager 2015, Sonic Generations. That had so much potential. I wanted to love that game. I bought it. I tried. Fine, whatever. It's in the bundle. Toe Jam and Earl, the original. Warhammer 40K, Space Marine, Dawn of War, and Dawn of War 2, all Warhammer 40K games. That there's some value in that bundle if you've not played much of that. My problem is I've played most of this. I never got Company of Heroes 2, and the Total War stuff I've kind of been iffy with, so I suppose there's something in there for me. But, you know, $80. I don't know that you could go too wrong. 175 million Call of Duty games have been sold to date. Guess what, though? That is still fewer than GTA. So this is all Call of Duty games, and as compared to all GTA games, with $11 billion in total lifetime revenue. $11 billion, that's no small chunk of wax, is it? Scott, that's not a phrase. Stop doing that. The Call of Duty franchise, one of the biggest in all of gaming, of course. And yesterday, they basically let the beans spill as to how much they have sold. So by comparison, let's compare them. Take-Two's Grand Theft Auto 2, or not 2 series, Grand Theft Auto series generally, the entire series, has sold more than 185 million copies. So that's more than, let's see, 100 million units include household names such as Lego, Mario, Pokemon, Need for Speed, Final Fantasy, and FIFA. Those are the only other franchises who have. Those Lego games do well, don't they? Jeez. Microsoft claims 60 million Halo games, so that's not as many. Hey, guess what? Anyone wondering if that fight between Halo and Call of Duty, who won that fight? I hate to tell you. Call of Duty won that fight. If you're looking at it from pure sales. Konami has shifted 33 million Metal Gear Solid titles. Metal Gear Solid. That means that's PlayStation 1 forward, isn't it? That's not the old NES stuff. Anyway, there have been over 100 billion multiplayer matches played so far in Call of Duty games. 300 million grenades have been lobbed or chucked or thrown. And players have earned 579 billion in-game awards, which is five times more the number of stars in the Milky Way. That's a great comparison. It's the most insane, dumb comparison ever because they have nothing to do with each other, but I like numbers like that, so that's pretty fun. Xbox has listed what their April Xbox One free games with gold are on Xbox One and 360, I guess. So that's good. Everybody want to know what the free games are coming up? Because it's kind of big. They include games like Child of Light, Gears of War Judgment, and Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag, the good Assassin's Creed in the last couple of years. So here's what you can get for Xbox One. Pool Nation FX, normally $10. Child of Light, pretty good game, normally $15. Xbox 360, you can get Gears of War Judgment and Terraria, $20 and $15 respectively. And then Xbox 360 from April 16th through the 31st, you can get Army of Two, The Devil's Cartel. Not a good game. Assassin's Creed 4, Black Flag. Good game. Normally $30 and worth your time. So nab that up. Microsoft will not interfere with Minecraft's convention following the buyout. That's good news. Here's what they said. They basically said, look, we don't want to mess with a good thing. We know the community's strong with this. I think Microsoft rightly is tiptoeing around what to do with Minecraft. They don't want to mess with why it's successful in the first place. Why would you do that? You wouldn't buy that thing and then go, all right, now I'm just going to pee on it and draw on it with a Sharpie and let my uncle borrow it for a week and then throw it in a lake for an hour. Like, you're not going to treat your your brand new $2.9 billion purchase or whatever it was. 2.5, was it? But it's basically, they're basically pledging, look, we're going to let Mojang operate the event however it wants to do it. Minecon, that is. Quote, Minecon is running 2015's Minecon. Mojang, rather, is running Minecon 2015. Boy, I got that all mixed up. Dyslexia time. In the same manner as their past events, says Microsoft spokesperson. Didn't give a name. Just somebody random. Talking to Games Beat. They added this. It never hesitated one bit to allow the show to go on. Quote, we're playing a supporting role, and we want to listen, learn, and be inspired by the community that has made Minecraft great. And will continue to make us a load of cash. GameStop's yearly revenue rose $9.3 billion. Check this out. Everybody thinks GameStop's in the toilet. Nobody goes there anymore, right? That's everyone's impression. That's my impression. But apparently digital sales are booming. That's where they're. That's the part of their business they're doing the best with. Video game retailer GameStop. You know the one? With the big impact font that looks the same as Smashburger? as of January 31st, up $9.3 billion. And while sales were down, yearly revenue was up. Really crazy. Here's how it breaks down. New hardware sales growth, 17.3%. All right. Let's see. Digital receipts increased 30.8% year over year to $947.9 million. The mobile and consumer electronics category increased 70.8%. Led by the Spring Mobile expansion, because they own that. And pre-owned and valued products grew 2.6%, despite an 11% decline in new video game software sales. So even their used game business increased some percentages. I guess I'm kind of surprised by these numbers. And they're scrappy, man. Look, we all make fun of it. We all complain. We don't want to be a part of their dumb club thing. We don't want to pre-order. We don't want to do all the things they make us do. But you got to admit, for a company who must see the writing on the wall that brick-and-mortar retail video game stores are not going to be a thing in the future, okay? For a company who must surely know that, they are doing all that they can to survive. And I think that's commendable. I'm kind of honestly impressed by it. The PlayStation... Oh, no, before I tell you this. New Toe Jam and Earl hits its funding target. I just want to get this out of the way. It reached its $400,000 target. I think it's over that now. Funding closes on the 27th, which is today. So, you know what? I'll go look at it real quick. Kickstarter.com. Toe Jam and Earl. Come on. Come on, Kickstarter. Let's not do this to me. It's funny, the first thing for Toe is not Toe Jam and Earl. It's a pressure point foot massager. Hold on. Here we go. I found it. It's got 2 hours to go. $486,563 for the Toe Jam and Earl, quote unquote, reboot thing. They don't have a video, like a opening video for this, which is a little bit weird. They got some other stuff. Anyway, they hit their goal. So if you are interested in a new Toe Jam and Earl, boy, have I got news for you. Vita and PS4 systems got their updates. They're live now. Sony rolled out its new global update for PS4 and PlayStation Vita's handheld. And the best part about it is the key feature on the PS4, which they're calling the Yukimura update. And this includes the suspend resume feature that we've been waiting for freaking ever. And that has been kind of on Xbox One, but sort of janky over there. And nobody's been able to figure that out. And Sony didn't have it at all. And we're like, well, wait, you got up on stage and you touted this feature. And we're like, come on, where is it? Finally, they've shipped it. And apparently, works like a champ. I've heard really good things about it. And that's good, because Sony owed us on that one. Vita got some stuff as well, some improvements, some enhanced accessibility options, like button remapping, enlarged text, inverted colors, color adjustment, a bunch of stuff for colorblind folks on both Vita and PS4. You can do that remapping on the PS4. And the value of that, people are like, why would I remap all my buttons? Well, you wouldn't if you were a fully abled gamer, right? But there are amputees, there are people with different issues and conditions that this really, really helps a lot. So I say good on Sony for doing a thing they didn't actually really have to do, but I'm glad they did it. And I'm glad to see a lot of people doing this. Blizzard did this recently with a World of Warcraft update. There's a ton of accessibility options in there. It's nice to see the industry acknowledge that there is a growing base of players who aren't, 100% sighted, or don't necessarily have all the limbs that you have, or all the fingers you have, or, whatever their reasons are, or whatever their conditions are. It's nice to see them acknowledging that with actual usable stuff in their games. It's a good time for it, and I don't know. We should all be happy that's happening. City Skylines mod lets you fly planes over your cities. This is maybe the raddest thing to talk about today. The community around City Skylines, holy crap, they're just... The mods that are coming out for that thing, and as quickly as they're coming, is blowing my mind. But there is a new flight simulator with a C. Get it? Because cities. you fly planes over your freaking town. So all you got to do is, when you're in there, you hit Control A and you start flying. It spawns a big jetliner high above the city. Aircraft is controlled by the WASD keys and mouse. The WASD. And, you just fly around your city. It's pretty rad. They got some plans for updates, like, better simulation and engine sounds is what they say. But that's just about the coolest mod I've ever heard of. So whoever made that, thank you for making that. Broken Age Act 2. There's no Broken Age 2 yet. We're still trying to get a Broken Age 1 out. The latter act, the second half, launching April 28th on PC, and the full game hits PS4 and Vita that same day. Doesn't say anything here about 360 or Xbox or PS. Oh, wait, was it ever PS3 and Xbox One or Xbox 360? It was not, was it? Well, where's your Xbox version? That's weird. It's not already out, is it? It can't be. I don't know. Anyway, whatever. It says it's launching April 28th PC and the PS4 and Vita. I thought that I swore the Xbox One got it too, didn't it? Oh, man, I feel bad now. Did they not get that? They have to get that game. Yeah, I've done something wrong here with my coverage. There's no way, right? Right? Someone tell me I'm right. Am I right? Time for the emails and the calls. As always, you can call us at 801-471-0462. That's 801-471-0GOB. And leave a voicemail, play it here on the show, or boopshow@gmail.com for both attachments and emails. Let's start with this.
I'd just like to let you know that weird digital refund future that you've been discussing a little bit, at least, is already here, sort of. from a place that you probably wouldn't expect it. Origin, of all places, has a 24-hour, if I remember correctly, return policy on games, so you can try it for however long and just kind of give it back and say, no, this game sucks, screw you, like something that everyone probably wished they could do with SimCity. Oh well, just wanted to let you know. Have fun.
Well, it's not quite the same, though. I mean, what we're talking about, that's not the play it for a day and then tell us, you know, send it, you know, refund it if you don't like it. That's different than, that's a return policy and it's a limited window. What I'm talking about is an exchange policy. Like, you're 6 months into the game, you've beaten it, you know, and played it 100 hours or whatever, but then you're like, I don't want this anymore. If it's, you know, I'd like to trade it back to, let's say, the Xbox One store for... I paid $39 for it. Now I want to trade it back in for $12 or whatever the GameStop equivalent price would be. That is a thing you will not see. That was my point last week. You're never going to see that, I don't think, because you're talking about bits and bytes. You're not talking about anything else. There's no real inventory there. You know, so there's no, you can't just make this arbitrary thing like, oh, well, that game was popular, so let's give him $30 back for that $60 game because it's worth more because we're selling it for more here at the digital store. But we'll only give him $10 for that crappy FIFA game because there's a million of those and nobody cares. There's no actual hard inventory on it. There's none of that additional valuation can occur like it can with regular hard, products. I don't know why I keep saying hard products, you know, physical products. It doesn't work that way. I think you understand. Does everyone understand? I'm not even sure I understand. Do I? Maybe.
Hey, Scott, this is Sandbox Clint calling for the Book Show. And I want to talk to you about some Dark Souls. So listen, man, I know you're a big fan of the Metroid games. And one way to look at Dark Souls, at least the way I look at Dark Souls, is that it is basically the evolution of Super Metroid.
Okay, I've heard this before. That sense of isolation that I love in Metroid games is alive and well in the Souls games. I mean, that may be true. I'm not totally opposed to it, but like this week I had to make a decision. I had my finger poised over one over a PS4 controller and one over a PC mouse saying, all right, what do I get here? Am I getting Bloodborne or am I getting Pillars of Eternity? And I had to just dig deep down and go, what kind of RPG do you want to play? And in my head, it was, I want to play this awesome throwback freaking Pillars of Eternity game is what I want to do. And I don't want to put myself through the curve of that other game yet. And it's not that, I've never seen, it's funny, Dan Stapleton on Twitter, a guy I follow who's awesome, he works at IGN, and we have some back and forth occasionally about these kinds of issues. And he made a point that really struck home with me yesterday. He had said on Twitter, because he really dislikes Bloodborne and seems to be in the minority of the reviewers and stuff generally who feel this way, but nonetheless, he doesn't like the game. And he said, isn't it funny for a game that is known as the it's not for everyone game, you sure can get a lot of heat, heat and hate for it, for not liking it. And he's right. Everyone acknowledges, including the hardest of hardcore players, that game is daunting and difficult in a way that is unique to its world and is not for everyone. Everyone talks about it. It's not for everyone. Yeah, that game's not for everyone, but man, if you're into it, right? But if someone doesn't like it, people are jumping down your freaking throat. I'm not saying you are a caller at all, obviously. In fact, I wish more calls were like yours. I've gotten some where they're just vitriolic anger that I'm not giving their game the whatever they think it's due. So yeah, that's frustrating. I'm not a fan of that kind of tactic, but I also just don't understand it. Look, either it's a not for everyone game or it's for everyone. So make up your mind. You know what I mean? But yeah, I don't know. If it's Metroid-y, that may not be enough for me.
Hey, Scott, this is Nate from Northern Illinois. Caller called in about what Mario would smell like and made me kind of think, I was thinking about Link and I feel like Link would always smell like flowers or something. I don't know. I wonder your thoughts on that. You think Link smells good? I feel like Link would always smell good. But tomorrow, yeah, he would just smell like sleigh balls.
Yeah, you're right about Mario. Link would probably smell like grass to me. I don't mean weed, right? I don't mean pot. Although suddenly I do wish I meant that, but that's not what I mean. If I meant that, I'd have played this clip.
Smoke weed every day.
But since that's not what I meant, I won't play that. I don't know what he... I think he smells like grass, like cut grass, freshly mowed grass all the time. He's always hacking at it. He's just got to be all, like, planty, you know? Chlorophylly. That Link. The stink on Link. Let's refer to it as that. And by the way, here we go. That's today's title. The stink on Link. Cracking myself up here. All right, we got an email from a Patreon supporter named Nick who wrote in. Thank you, Nick, by the way. Says, hey, Scott. As someone who owns every console, so I can play, quote-unquote, all the games, but prefers Xbox platform for third-party games, I'm finding that my PS4 is sitting idle for some time now, mostly because whenever there's an exclusive PS4 title I'm interested in comes along like Killzone, Drive Club, or The Order and gets reviews that say it's a bad game. Could you recommend me some good games that are exclusive to PS4 and that are out now? Note, I've already platinumed both Infamous Second Son and Infamous First Light. I've also played Oddworld, Towerfall, Transistor, but didn't end up liking them, and I'm not big on indies in general. Well, if you're not big on indies in general, I don't even think the PS4 is a great console to own right now, because that's really where some of its biggest strengths are. I love the indie scene, so everything you mentioned there is great, although Oddworld is not an indie game. It's a HD version of a remastered version of an old game that I do love, but it's I wouldn't call it an indie. Transistor, Towerfall, definitely indies. They're both good games though too. I don't know what to tell you. If Sony has a big problem right now, although we're saying this under the shadow of Bloodborne now out and being a PS4 exclusive right now, so there's your game and you can't get it anywhere else, at least at the moment. So let's say all things being equal, or that game not being out yet, it is one of the abysmal things about the PS4, and it's unfortunate because Sony needs to get back on that train. I'd love their exclusives. In the past, PS3 era, the PS3 became my console of choice during that time. I had both, but I preferred it because I thought their exclusives were better than Xbox. I just liked them better. And everything from Journey to the freaking Uncharted games and all that kind of stuff. Just so good. And it's not that Sony doesn't have stuff, you know, in the chamber here. It's just that they've disappointed with the last few exclusives and they really need to get back on that. I don't know where their heads are at with that though. And you know what? I say all this, but what's Microsoft got either, really? They've got Halo 5 coming. That's a big deal, a huge deal. But Titanfall didn't end up being that big of a deal. What else? That's it. I mean, they've got, what else do they have that's so exclusive? Like Ori and the Blind Forest thing, that's out on PC. Like, I don't think there's too many other exclusives on either side. Both of them are kind of lacking in this area. It's funky. And the Master Chief Collection was a big mess. So, yeah, both of them. Go back to school, yo. Get on the stick. Try to figure it out. All right, email from Frank, who says, Scott, when you are going to get a proper open world, or when are we going to get a proper open world Old West RPG? Oh, man, you're talking my language. I'm not talking Red Dead. I'm not talking full Skyrim treatment where you can be do anything you want, do anything, or be any race. Or he is talking about that, sorry. So like a Chinese railroad worker that becomes a gunfighter, or a pioneer from back east who comes west to pan for gold, or a Native American who leaves the tribe for adventure to become a trapper, or a Mexican bandit who becomes a rancher and gets into a range war, or a freed slave out to make a new life in the West. Huge open world. Deserts, rivers, mountains, prairies, all those old movie tropes. Be anyone from that era in a huge Old West sandbox. Dude, you're preaching to the choir here. I would play this. I would play this so freaking hard. Oh, it's a giant prospect though, right? Maybe what I want is just another Red Dead, but I'd settle for that. But yeah, a big open-y world thing would be pretty rad. But nobody knows how to make that. You know, like we keep trying. Everyone sucks at this. Blizzard makes a game, but you know what? WoW, for all of its open worldness, is also pretty linear on purpose. I think it's a better game because of it. I think we've kind of come around on this where you can't just give everybody a giant flat open space and say go for it unless it's like Minecraft. But then that's kind of a limited thing. It's not massively multiplayer, and like there's a lot of limitations to that. But if you want just build your own shmoo, it's a little more complicated to do that in a Western landscape. Maybe what you and I, Frank, need is Red Dead Redemption 2 or Red Dead Reflection or Red Dead Rambunctious or something like that. I mean, you know, they got to bring that around sometime, right? Man, I'm hoping, I hope we get an announcement this year. All right, it's time to leave you. I don't like doing it either, man. Don't look at me like that. Don't look at me with your big, sad puppy eyes. Before I get out of here, though, a reminder, our website is at frogpants.com/boopshow@gmail.com is our email address. Please use it. 801-471-0GOB, 801-471-0462. That's our voicemail line. You can find us at Twitter, at boopshow, me at Scott Johnson. And the YouTube channel I mentioned before, youtube.com/ScottJohnson as well. You can find latest gameplay videos. Got some hero stuff up there and going to put a lot more up. So keep your eye on that. All right. Oh, I think that's everything. Thanks, everybody, for your support at patreon.com/frogpants as well. I'm going to leave you some music. Zelda Techno. This is sent to me by a fan. I don't have any reference to the artist. I've asked for it. He didn't reply. So I'm going to play it anyway, but I don't know who did this remix. But it's a Zelda Techno remix thing that is pretty catchy and kind of awesome. So I thought I'd play it. I, again, don't know the origins or I would tell you, but keep your suggestions and or your music coming for music remixes we can play at the end of the show. I love it when you guys provide those. That's going to do it for us. Thank you for being here. We'll see you Monday on a brand new episode of The Boop Show. See you then. We'll be right back. show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.